Okay, Sunday morning. This is the 19th of January, 2020. We're going to continue on with Your Steps Are Ordered. And the little subtitle is Not Leaps. Not Leaps. Not Leaps. Not L-E-A-P-S. Not Leaps. Your Steps Are Ordered. Not Leaps. There's a real heavy anointing in here this morning, and speaking about why we're all here, about revival in the land. This last week I was watching where it was a Christian group that was, looked like it was at a county fair or something, and there was a lot of big Muslim presence, and these people were holding up signs, and I guess someone was preaching. I heard later a little bit of their preaching. It was pretty condescending. It caused people to pelt them with water bottles, and the police just stood by. In fact, the police made them move on because they just give in to the mob and the But the Lord really spoke to me about that, and this is what I came across this. We have to change our methods. You're like they were picketed in front of a Muslim mosque, and they're yelling, you know, all these things. Well, it was a condemning. It was a contentious type of message. It was not the love of God. You know what I'm saying? It says here, we draw people to Christ, not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. Isn't that what Jesus did? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We have to change our methods. I brought that up this morning on the broadcast some, that, you know, if we can't show them something better, we don't have anything to offer. The love of God. I mean, how much more better would it be if someone was just quietly maybe standing there and people come by and you were just friendly and, oh, would you like to have one of these and maybe strike up a conversation for, you know what, they're expressing that they need to be healed and you just lay hands on them and they get healed. You'd have that whole place flocking to you. You wouldn't have them pelting you with water bottles, which was really hard to watch, especially as the police let them do it. I mean, we're talking full water bottles. And they were going as hard as they could throw at them. It wasn't toss a water bottle. And these were all young people. These were, we're talking early 20s, maybe some of them teenagers. But what did they do? They told them where they were wrong and told them how they were going to go to hell because they were Muslim. And this type of thing was going on. The world don't want to hear that. They want to hear about some goodness. They got problems in their life. They'd like to hear that you have good news for them. I'm thinking about, you know, it's kind of like going fishing. You're out on the water and you just take a pole and start beating the water and making a bunch of racket and throwing rocks in the water. Do you think you're going to catch any fish that way? No, you sit quiet. Everything's peaceful. And you got something really tasty on the end of that hook. That's how you catch fish, and that's how you catch men. So we need to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. All right, your steps are ordered. Psalms 27:23. Did anybody catch Charlie Shump this morning? Right before my broadcast, Kay Harden is on, and she had just a clip of Prophet Charlie Schwamp, I forget his last name. He was talking about back in 1989, during a World Series game in Candlestick Park, there was an earthquake and it delayed the game. He said it was symbolic that the Lord was visiting America for an awakening at that time and they did not heed his voice. And he said God took the candlestick out for a time, but he's bringing it back. And he talked about revival in all these major arenas, like the sports arenas. is coming back to America. God is revisiting, relighting the candlestick where people will have a boldness and, you know, it'll be a time of great revivals, meetings in big arenas throughout our country. And this was like a year ago that he had this. She just had a little segment on hers. And I thought, you know, I believe it. I believe it. And I say, well, Lord, you know, help us. Help us to wake up. That's what this is all about, is waking up and smelling the coffee. What's going on? Where we are. Being a Christian that's always on the cutting edge, knowing where the Spirit's moving, what He's saying, now do this. Because we wouldn't have gotten into places we are today. I was thinking about the impeachment thing, and I call it the shampeachment, because it's the biggest sham, the biggest disgrace that I've ever seen in my life. All that big to-do with the $2,500 pens writing out the impeachment orders and taking it, slow walking it over to the Senate like it was, it's just the biggest show. And I said, Lord, I feel like I'm watching the Keystone Cops here, the biggest. And what he said? You missed your time. It was on your watch that they were allowed to do this. It's on our watch. While we were playing country club church or not going to church, not doing anything, this is what was going on. So don't be mad at the clowns. Do something about it. Don't let it happen again. That's what this is all about. That's what he said, you're having to go through this and see this. He'll be exonerated. He's an innocent man, and he will be acquitted. And you're to say that with every breath you've got until it's over. He is an innocent man. There's a song that says, he's an innocent man. I keep hearing that tune. He's an innocent man. He will be acquitted. It will go on his record. But I said, Lord, it's agony to watch this, to even hear any more of it. He said, I'd rather you be in agony having to watch this sham and you never let this happen again. So you're enough said. Enough said. Can't blame old Pelosi or Nadler or Schiff. They're kicking against the goads this morning. This may be the last chance they ever have. And I prayed for them this morning. I said, Lord, doing what they're doing, boy, they're messing with God. They're kicking against God. They're kicking against God's anointed, God's chosen one for this hour. This is a dangerous time for them. I did see something this morning. American Source News did an interview with Nancy Pelosi, and she said, if this impeachment, but she's reneged on her word before, but if this impeachment doesn't go through, I'm going to resign. I thought, yay! Go on, use some more pens for the occasion. Won't you just pack it up now? Yeah. All of them. Those that tried to impeach the president, they will be impeached. Yeah. Period. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I don't believe they'll ever see anymore. Never, ever anymore for them. They are done. They have crossed the line. They'll pray for their souls. They're the ones to be pitied in this situation, not the president. The president will come out smelling like a rose. He already is concerning this. I'm telling you, we're living in serious times. But it's all back in our lap, and we have to deal with it. We can't blame, it's the Democrats. We can't blame, it's the president. We can't blame anybody else when we've been given authority over the devil, who is the real culprit. All right, Psalms 37. Our theme song needs to be "Not on My Watch." 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So our steps are ordered. We don't need to be concerned because the steps of our steps are ordered by the Lord. And as we do those things, we'll never have to be begging for bread. He takes care of us. The word ordered there, talked about this last week, is the word, it's spelled, it's K-U-W-N, but it looks like coon, K-O-O-N, to be erect. Standing, to set up in a great variety of applications, rather literally, or establish, fix, or prepare, or apply, or figuratively, to appoint, render sure, proper, or prosperous. So we're to have a prosperous journey as the Lord directs our steps and we do His plan. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Walk there means to tread all around. Think about tread. What does tread mean? I'm thinking tread. Every step you take, you thoroughly tread it down. It comes into complete authority under you. Tread. Think about treading grapes. They squish those grapes with their feet, bare feet, till there ain't anything left. God's going to tread the wine press, the grapes, at the end. But that's authority. Tread, walk by faith. That's a place of authority. That's a place that we tread. This says volumes to me. Walking is reflective. It denotes taking time and taking care of business. The flesh wants everything now. Rush here, rush there. No, it's the walk of faith, and those steps are ordered, sure and secure. People that rush and are in a hurry forget things. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience. James 1:4. Let's look at that right quick. We're talking about the walk of faith, not the leap of faith. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Doesn't that kind of sound like the scripture in Psalms I just read? Those few passages? It does to me. Patient means to be cheerful or hopeful. Endurance, constancy, which implies waiting. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Here's one of them. The Lord began to speak to me the first part of the week. Self-awareness. This is one of Satan's devices, self-awareness. A person believes that it's through this device that we get off of our ordered path and get in the flesh. Self-awareness is flesh. The world system is into this big. They push it 24/7, but the Bible condemns it. Think about self-awareness campaigns. All the ribbon campaigns are self-awareness campaigns, getting you conscious of, oh, if you have this symptom. Do you ever just, you know, looking at stuff maybe online or, and all these pop-ups, and it's always, well, this is the four signs that you are having heart failure. Or just run out of the pit. Are you watching, just trying to watch even on Up TV, an inspirational movie, and there's so many awful from the pit commercials in between. Even if you're fast-forwarding them, it's hard to not see a little bit of them and get the meaning of what they're saying. Satan's propaganda, 24/7. Self-awareness, being aware. The world makes it look like if you're not self-aware, you're neglectful. It's just the opposite of what the Bible talks about. Matthew 6 talks about, don't take a thought saying, what am I going to eat, drink, and wear? But, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think verse 24 says, you can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't. Well, the Lord knows. This device is actually care, and we know it's a snare. Remember getting rid of the care bear snare? A device to stop you from an ordered course. A lot of people say, well, I can't. You know, I'm bound to this wheelchair, or I don't feel good, so I'm staying home today, or I don't want to do this, so I don't go. I don't think so, or I don't want to, or I feel this. Remember Joyce Meyer thinking, I want to think I feel. That's just kind of the lifestyle of what we go through. It's better known as the Valley of the Shadows. Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's just the appearance of things. False evidence that appears real. Joyce Meyer, she has a mini book. I gave it out to y'all a few years ago or a year and a half ago. It's called Do It Afraid. Why do you think the things come? It's a deterrent. It's to get you off your ordered course. It's to deter you. Well, I don't feel like it today. When things come, we run for the foxhole, and therefore we miss our ordered course that day because we're not available because of what's coming against us. Did you know that shadows never hurt anyone? The shadow boxer is never knocked out by the shadow unless it's Peter Pan. And it's a magic crud. Shadow here means shade of death or calamity. Your body and emotions cannot be trusted to do this. When the devil tries to lure you into his self-awareness trap, don't give him any place in your inn. Tell him, like he rejected our Savior, there's no place in the inn for you. Well, there's no place for him in our inn. Here's a little psalm the Lord gave me this week. I don't walk by how I feel. Faith says all is well. I walk by faith without any care. Feelings, beware, they are a snare. I don't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference how I feel. My feelings are lies and they are not real. Faith is the stable place I dwell, and here is where I never fail. We were taught growing up, let conscience be your guide. Let your conscience be your guide. We were even taught when we were first in the Word of Faith that your conscience was the voice of your spirit. Well, I began to see the fallacy of both these views a few years ago, and here's why. With the awakening of the conscience through Satan's narrative, it caused man to waver. A lot of people think, well, it was the fall that caused this to happen, but really it happened before the fall because Satan reasoned with Eve. Before Genesis 3, man was heavenly minded and never gave a thought to self-awareness. Think about it. He walked with God. He said they were naked and didn't know it. They had no self-awareness at all. It wasn't until the devil began to say things in Eve's ear did she begin to waver. In the epistles, out of the Strong's, it indicates that the conscience is actually our morals. It shows moral conscience. We see that right after the encounter in Genesis 3, man was embarrassed and realized he was naked. He developed self-consciousness instead of God-consciousness. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The conscience causes you to feel condemned so that you don't have confidence in God. Satan used this as leverage over us so that we were in this constant state of double-mindedness. We now can choose to know that we have right standing with God and that we no longer have to live under condemnation. It's a choice. It was a choice with Eve. What did she choose? She chose to be condemned and started questioning God. Satan is a liar. You must not let him control your emotions. This is self-awareness, always feeling like you never measure up. Resist. We are seated with him in heavenly places. Now I'm going to look at 1 John 3 for a minute. Verse 20 and 21. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The heart there is the thoughts or feelings. Don't take a thought saying. I would venture to say that most of what Christians go through is condemnation, and to be honest, I don't believe the Lord is ever in it. Have you ever noticed that the Holy Spirit speaks to us if we miss the mark, but it is always peaceful and easy to hear in a corrective way, like a father training a child? He never scolds or berates his kids. He loves us, and he always treats us with love. Think about the prodigal. If this is happening to you, recognize it as the devil and the leverage he tries to use over you so your faith won't work. I'm talking about you go have a lunch with somebody, and before you're out of the parking lot, you're saying, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I missed it. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Did he ever happen to you, this kind of stuff? It's the condemnation of the enemy. Okay, Hebrews 4:16. See, if he can keep you condemned, then you don't have confidence. And if you don't have confidence, your faith won't work. 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:35 is another good one. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. This would have to be the truth, because Satan plays with our emotions. That is what he did with Eve. That is why our warfare are all about emotions. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to put it down a stronghold. Casting down every thought, every high and lofty thing. How'd the devil come to Eve? She conversed with the snake, but whether it's verbal or we hear it in our mind, it's still a thought that has to be cast down. All right. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Before the fall, no self-awareness, only God-awareness. The conscience was the awakening of self-awareness. This is what I wrote down, what I just said. Did you go to lunch with someone and immediately after you leave, you begin to feel condemned by what you said? And I heard someone say one time, and I don't know that I believe it, but they said it. If you start feeling condemned after you leave somebody's presence, then they're judging you. No, I think the devil just jumps on you. I believe it's condemnation. You became self-aware. Our steps are ordered. We should come away from there and say, the Lord gave me good things to say to that person to help them. See the emotional game the devil plays. Refuse to fall into the trap of Satan's condemnation. You ever think, why did I say that? That's out of character for me to say that. Why did I say that? And we start beating ourselves up when really, probably the Lord had to say it by inspiration for a reason. Why not believe that? Because we're so used to the other. God never wanted man to know evil. Evil is this: bad, adversity, calamity, distress, harm, heavy, hurt, mischief, mark, misery, not please, sad, sore, sorrow, trouble, vex, wicked, wretchedness, wrong. These are all the words. I just wrote them down. He has made you righteous, and he and all he ever wanted for you is to know good and how much you're loved. That's all. When the Lord corrects you, it's a whole different story than this other stuff that we allow. We need to resist it like we do anything else. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. I love you. I don't see that you've done anything wrong. You stand guiltless before me. Well, you said and you did and you shouldn't have. I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It's like Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. You don't savor the things of God, but the things of men. I'm of a mind, if I say something to somebody and they don't like it or whatever, well, I was prompted to say it, so whatever. Just don't let the devil condemn you. Paul said we're free from that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Did we come back to pre-fall state? Yeah, we did. So don't buy into that God's correcting me and always beating on me and always doing this. The Lord says very little to me about in correction. Very seldom. Once in a great while. But it's always, well, like I said, it's peaceful, it's wisdom, and it makes you better. What does this other do for you? Keep you messed up and beat down and all the time? Come on, hear me this morning. Don't trust your conscience. I'm sorry. Don't trust your conscience. Trust the Holy Spirit in you. He is our guide, not the conscience. Now, the conscience can be seared. Well, I followed my conscience, and why am I in this mess? Paul talked about having a clean conscience, a good conscience, you know, before God. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Scripture we're to follow our conscience. Why would it be the voice of our spirit whenever in the pre-fall state it wasn't even awakened? The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not their conscience. Even wicked men, they have that conscience. Well, like I said, it's your moral. It sets your morals. Even, I guess, there's some honor among thieves. They have some honor. There's points they won't go. They won't go past. Like people in jail, they'll think, well, I'll murder and steal and do all these things, but if you're a pedophile, I'm going to kill you. You start touching them babies, I'm take you out. That's pretty common knowledge. God loves you. You are guiltless before Him. And if He needs to talk to you, He will. But don't let that condemnation, don't let that hang over you. Don't let that guide your life. Don't let it set your course. Because if you do, you'll feel bad all the time about everything. Especially when you got people around to help the devil out. Okay. Hello. I'm done. On that.